From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Howard Weiss Tisman. It's Tuesday, March 28th. Here are today's headlines.
It continues to be crunch time in the Vermont legislature. So today we've got a rundown of a few more notable bills that are advancing in Montpelier. For one, the Vermont Senate has approved legislation that allows police to make warrantless arrests of individuals who threaten or assault hospital workers. Hospitals have reported an increase in workplace violence since the beginning of the pandemic. Rutland County Senator David Weeks says nurses and other healthcare workers are routinely attacked by patients and their visitors.
We took dozens of gut-wrenching testimonies from Vermont doctors and nurses who increasingly are being punched, kicked, spit on, and bitten. No medical staff should suffer such indignities.
Supporters of the legislation say it will allow police to remove violent individuals from the hospital environment instead of just issuing them a citation.
The Senate has also approved legislation that would require commercial health insurance companies to cover the cost of EpiPens. The devices inject a dose of epinephrine, which stops severe allergic reactions. Washington County Senator Ann Cummings says the price of EpiPens has risen sharply in recent years.
And for people, especially children that tend to have a lot of these very severe allergies, having access to that is absolutely necessary.
Health insurers like Blue Cross Blue Shield of Vermont say the proposal won't have a significant effect on commercial health insurance rates, and the legislation is now under review by the House of Representatives.
The Senate has also approved legislation that could lead to the elimination of cash bail for most nonviolent crimes. The bill prohibits cash bail for all nonviolent misdemeanor offenses, and it calls for recommendations to do away with cash bail almost entirely. Chittenden Central Senator Tanya Vyhovsky told her colleagues that there are roughly 200 people currently held in state custody because they couldn't afford to meet cash bail requirements.
Cash bail not only is not the most effective tool to ensure defendants' appearance in court, but it is also disparately and inequitably applied and holds people in jails before they have had the due process guaranteed to them simply because they are poor and cannot afford to post their bail.
The legislation will now be reviewed by the House Judiciary Committee.
And the Senate will take up a bill today aimed at increasing oversight of Vermont's 14 county sheriffs. The most significant change would bar sheriffs from padding their salaries with a 5% cut of all contracts brought into their department. But sheriffs are elected officials, and any major reforms to their position involves changing the state constitution. Addison County Senator Ruth Hardy is one of the sponsors of the salary bill. She says this year's proposal is a first step towards adding oversight.
It also includes a study with a request for recommendations for next session. And finally, we're looking at a potential constitutional amendment.
The proposed reforms come after a spate of controversies and alleged misconduct involving sheriffs.
Coming up, a visit to a glassblower. That story after this. To help us through Vermont's long winter and cold spring, the Vermont Public Newsroom is bringing you stories exploring the word heat. Today, we'll go inside the hot shop of a local glassblowing factory.
My name is Rich Aronson. I run with my wife, Tova Lander, AO Glass in Burlington, Vermont. This is called the hot shop of AO Glass. It's behind Arts Riot and Speeder and Earls on Pine Street in Burlington. We have four furnaces and four reheating chambers, and any given day there may be eight professional glass blowers and assistants, a whole quality control packing team. 95% of what we do is making custom lampshades for larger companies. We make drinking glasses. We make ornaments. We make sculptural bags. We make pumpkins. We've made lots of polar bears and snowmen, and we made champ. We make all sorts of stuff. First, we buy raw material from Sweden that comes in a batch pelletized form. Glass is probably 70-80% silica, but you have to combine it with things to lower the melting point of that silica. And then we have to melt it, which means throwing it into our furnaces, which hold roughly 1,000 pounds of glass each, and cook it at a temperature of around 2,350 degrees Fahrenheit. So the glass cooks overnight. The bubbles kind of froth up a little like you're opening a bottle of seltzer. Within a day or two, you have bubble-free, ideally bubble-free glass. When we take the glass out of the furnace, it's kept at around 2100 degrees. We'll stick a metal rod into it and turn it a little like you can turn a straw in honey and gather a gob of glass, which is the official term, onto the end of what's called a blowing pipe. It's a hollow tube.
Well, stop.
And using newspaper or wooden tools, we're able to keep it round. Some of the other, using gravity too, and centrifugal force, we're able to coax it into the final shape. With the lighting components especially, we'll use molds because the exterior diameter is essential to fit whatever lighting product we're working on. And so at that point, you're able to take the glass and flip it from the glass blowing iron onto a solid rod with a little bit of glass on it. It's like high temperature juggling. And then there's a little hole on the top and you're able to heat that up. And by spinning it and using a specialized metal tool, turn it into a finished glass. After that, the glass always has to anneal, which is kept in our cooling oven, which is a cooling oven of 900 degrees Fahrenheit. And then from that point, it cools slowly overnight to relieve any internal stress. What's really exciting with glass blowing, let's just say you make something, you can't touch it or see it really until the next day. So you kind of run to the studio the next morning and open the annealer and hope that what you see is as beautiful as what you can imagine in your head. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not, but it's always a nice surprise. After the recession, people became much more conscious of trying to buy American-made products whenever possible. So that gave us an opening. As that business started to grow, it enabled us to move from our 400 square foot studio office warehouse into a 10,000 square foot facility that we have now, where we employ 30 people making glass. We have people checking the glass, going through a QC process and packing. And in the back room, we have people cold working. We have four cold workers and they are grinding and polishing. One of the things I like about having visitors come in, because you really get to appreciate the magic of what's really going on. For me, most of the time, it's a struggle of trying to make what's in my head or thinking about the business. But when we have visitors, you can really say, wow, this is an incredible thing that we're doing. We're really just taking sand and imagination and some sweat and turning it into something that looks beautiful. And that's a spectacular thing to be involved with.
That story was reported and produced by Brittany Patterson.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld and Liam Elden Connors.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Howard Weiss-Disman. Talk to you tomorrow.